This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth, here with Christopher John O'Shea. The two of us enjoying tax season.
Yeah, we sure are. Drew, it's great to be with you. You know, I was just thinking, as we were walking in, you've been here basically every Wednesday for how long now?
Well, since 2007.
Yeah.
And so, then 1993 to 1998.
Yeah. Yeah, we did
that's
that.
A lot of years.
Sure. Yeah, and so Tom and I get to split, so we get to come here a couple times a month with you, but you are the constant. So it's a congratulations.
I don't know about that.
you occupy the chair.
That's true.
That's
anyway.
It. So we have an open show, right?
Tonight
tell our
is
guests
a open
what
show.
An open show is.
Open show means that you get to be the guest, so you get to call in and direct the conversation of the show tonight. So if you want to ask something about taxes, or you want to ask something about investments or insurance or elder care law or estate planning or IRAs or 401ks or anything of that sort, now's the time to call in and direct the conversation of the show, and we'll do our best to answer your questions. And if we don't have an answer, we can either make it up or we can find it out for you. But we really have situations.
I was going to say, yeah, you don't make things up too often. You know, but you know, I was just thinking, all those topics that you just mentioned, few of those stay constant. You know, they're always changing.
Yeah.
So even if people think that they're up to speed or up to date on certain things, well, it changes.
Yeah, you remember that one CPA, Don Farmer, used to say,
yeah.
Everybody always says, and it's not rocket science or it's not brain surgery or something. He had to say, it's not CPA work, you know, because brain surgeons and rocket scientists wake up every day with the laws of physics and the laws of science are always the same. They're constant. We wake up every morning. We never know what these guys are going to tell us we can do and can't do and how we're going to do it and how we have to compute it and so forth and so forth.
Yeah,
so,
technology is always changing for everybody. But, yeah, when things are shifting, the ground beneath you shifts. It's some are good and some are bad.
So real quick, at Drew's view, again, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. Now's the time calling. You wanted the maximum time with your question. Now's the time calling, 410-922-6680. Just to Drew's view, again, it's tax time.
Yeah.
A lot of people go off, think that they buy TurboTax. People think TurboTax is omniscient about taxes.
And we're seeing more H&R Block software, too.
Yeah, and Tax Cut, H&R Block, and so forth. Well, we use tax software, too. Yeah. And we're really smart about taxes, but I can tell you how many times I do a tax return and review it and review it and review it and review it until I make sure that based on the understanding of the law that I have, that tax return is actually correct, despite the fact that the software took all the information and processed it and so forth. And I find that the best way that a tax return is done properly is when the tax payer and the tax preparer work together in a collaborative fashion. That, to me, is what it's all about. A taxpayer who doesn't understand the laws, thinking that they've got TurboTax to understand the laws and get it done for them. I mean, there are people that literally will argue with me that it, you know, the software is right. You know, how bad could it be? You know, got it right. And then you've got tax preparers who think that we got all the knowledge. Well, you know, I got all the knowledge, but that taxpayer is a lot more concerned about his tax return than we are with the, you know, 300-500. This year, our firm will do over 1,000 tax returns. So,
right, and we've got to get the information. I mean, as you said, the collaborative effort comes in when we've got to get the information from them. We've got to draw it out. So things that they think may not apply do,
right,
and vice versa.
Well, because you're here, Chris, there's a whole bunch of people calling in. Jerry in Baltimore, how can we help you?
There you go.
Yes, I have two questions. Number
go ahead.
One, 1095 form. Will I have to pay back some of those subsidies I got for my health insurance?
It's theoretically possible. It depends on what income you told them in the early part of the year and what your income actually turned out to be when you file your tax return. And so that 1095's got to go in along with the other credit form, and you've got to compute it out to determine whether you reported more or less. You could actually even get more money back if you over speculated on your income. So it depends on what you told them when you talked to the exchange and what your actual tax return is going to say.
Okay. And the second question, if you get a letter from the IRS, I mean, I didn't get it. How much of that is it all the taxpayer's responsibility or the tax preparer's responsibility? Because I just let my tax preparer do everything.
Well, what do you mean by a letter from the IRS?
Well, saying you owe more in taxes or something.
Well, it's totally on you because the tax preparer, whether they made a mistake or not, does not change the fact of what your taxes are. But the tax preparer could be on the hook for the penalties and interest you might owe if it was their negligence on that mistake. All right?
I guess he would have to say he's going to pay it, the penalty and the interest.
Well, that's true. And, you know, that's a whole different story.
Would you do it if you made a mistake?
Yes, we always do it.
Okay. All right, thanks, Andrew.
All right, buddy. Take care. Solly in Parkville, how can we help you?
Yeah, I have a question about if I surrender a whole life insurance policy, there may or may not be a gain. But where does that get reported on a 1040 form?
So you cashed in a life insurance policy, right? And you got some cash value back.
I haven't cashed it in.
Well,
yet,
if you did,
there will be some cash.
It would the total cash value you receive will show up on line 16B as in boy, at least on the 2015 return, 14 return, and it'll the taxable portion will show up on line 16B, which lines up with all your other incomes, and it's
okay,
only taxable.
Line 16 is, as I recall, the annuity line?
Yes, it's pensions and annuities, but a life insurance policy would fall under that same category.
Yeah, okay. One other short question. I hear now a lot of advertisements about a market-linked CD. Is that the same thing as what they call structured savings CD?
Yes, it is a structured CD. In other words, instead of the bank telling you what interest rate they're going to give you, it's linked to some type of index of something of that sort. So, yes, structured CD, market-linked CD, same creatures. All right?
Yeah, okay. Thanks a lot.
All right, buddy. I have to take a quick pause, as Noah used to like to call it, and go to Nick Rehack in traffic, but I hope that Neil and Bert will stay on. We'll answer their question. Anybody else? 410-922-6680. Take it away, Nick.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
What is that?
I don't...
What is that?
I don't know what music that's from.
I don't know. I don't know
where... intro.
Where Anita
our low-key new, intro.
Our new producer, Anita, you know, that's different stuff there, man.
Not Fighting Neil, Soldiers.
Neil,
you know.
Neil on his cellar. He's still there, Neil.
I am. How are you doing?
Are you driving or are you home or what?
No, I'm out on the roads, but talking hands free.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you something. You know, you can be on those roads for a while. It took me 50 minutes.
That's why I thought I'd give you a call.
What's up, buddy?
I had a question. I'm not sure if you'd be able to help me regarding personal assets and their effect on obtaining financial aid for a person's children.
Okay, that's an easy one.
From what I understand, I always thought I'm pretty debt free. I don't make a large income. That I be sitting pretty well for that, but from what I understand, they look very carefully at all assets, IRAs, everything like that, and I'm just curious if that is the case, is there any way to sort of shelter any of that?
IRAs and 401ks are excluded assets for FAFSA. So, and your home equity is excluded for government aid, but financial aid people would look at your home equity from the universities and so forth. And then there's different percentages. If your children have money in their name, let's say they have $15,000 in their name, they'll look at that to the extent of about 35% of anything that's in their name. And then they'll look at assets in your name at somewhere between 5 and 7%, something of that sort. And then the other interesting thing is how they're going to look at 529 plans and so forth. And that's another interesting piece of the equation. So, and then also if your children make income, so let's say they go out and get a part-time job and they make $3,000, they're going to look at that. They'll probably take, I think it's somewhere around 50% of what a child makes is what they look at from the government aid point of view. So it's a complex little critter as to how they do it. But, it's pretty involved, but 401ks and IRAs are excluded, and so are lots of annuities can also be an excluded asset.
Okay. All right. Well, something to keep in mind. Thank you.
Yeah, you should find somebody who works in that area that doesn't sell product to assist you in if you need it, if you think you need it, to make sure you get the maximum benefit, okay? But be careful of people who sell product and say they're going to help you with it. All right?
Okay, thank you.
Take care, buddy. And Bert in Westminster, how can we help you?
Yeah, good evening, Drew. A year ago, we bought a property in a foreign country to build as a rental, and we set up a foreign corporation in that country to help in terms of liability protection. Question I have is, does that have to be reported on our form on our tax returns here, or is that something that gets reported as a tax return in that country?
Both. And you also have some very complicated, do you have assets held in that foreign country also, a bank account in that foreign country?
Well, that we open an account this year, so from last year, no.
Okay, well, that's very important also, because if you do, you got your FASBAR and so forth, and there are a lot of very specific reporting requirements if you have an account in a foreign country. And so be very careful about, yes, but the answer to that question is you're going to have both. Now, here's the tricky part when I say both is the corporation is going to report in the foreign country. But only if the income comes back taxable to you would you have to report it back in the United States. So in other words, you don't have to file a corporate tax return in that foreign country that you have in the foreign country in the United States. But you have a very complex – the United States, Bert, is the only country in the world that has a global tax system. You know what I mean by a global?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So if you lived in other country and you came to America and set up a corporation and bought a piece of real estate, it would be totally irrelevant to them. They would care less because they only have a tax system in their country. We have a global tax system. And so anything that happens in that corporation that would prove to be taxable income back to you, you have to be very careful about it. You need an accountant who specializes in global tax treaties and so forth to make sure you're staying in the letter of the law between the United. That's not one that TurboTax can do, my friend.
Right. Now, the follow-up question is, based on income, if there isn't any income or if expenses exceed income at this point in time, so it's sort of an operating at a loss, hopefully not that way in the future, it's still a reporting to the extent that it exists.
No, you would not have any reporting, and it, again, it comes down to what kind of entity is it in the foreign country and how is it treated in that foreign country, you know, and so forth. Would that pass through to the shareholders? How are you a shareholder in it? Is it held in a foreign trust and then in a corporation? There's a lot of complexity to this. Just make sure that you have an international tax accountant who can keep you straight on this. But, if that company is losing money and there's nothing to report to you, there's nothing coming back to you, then you wouldn't have to report in the United States. But there are reporting requirements in the sense that you own assets in foreign nations, and that's a different story. So you got two things going on. You've got your reporting of foreign assets, and you got your income tax reporting. Very complex. Anytime you bring a foreign country in, even Canada, to the United States, And because we have a global tax system, it's an area that I don't specialize in, but I know people who do.
All right, very good. Appreciate the insight.
All right, buddy, you take care. Enjoy that. What country are you in?
Panama.
All right.
I was going to say, he's got to be committed because he already knows the difficulty of setting up accounts in foreign countries. Basically, the countries don't want to do it for Americans.
We should both be there, Bert.
Believe me, it was an arduous task getting the bank accounts done.
There's a great website that you should read, liveandinvestoverseas.com, liveandinvestoverseas.com, Kathleen Petticord. We interviewed her on this radio station about...
I listened to that interview and did sign up. As a consequence.
Good deal. And good. All right, Bert, take care. Got to run.
Thank you.
Take care. That was a good call. That's an interesting one. Jim Monticello, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, go ahead, man.
Yeah, I got a quick question. A colleague of mine did early retirement, and I'm probably a year or so behind him. He was only 59, got out, but he's going to be 60 shortly. So anyway, I just finished doing my federal and state, Maryland state taxes, and doesn't apply to us yet, my wife and I, but both of us will be getting pensions, and I'm well aware of the fact that Maryland taxes pensions. But I did see that if you're 65 or older, that there's a, I think it was $39,000, correct me if I'm wrong, exclusion that you received.
I think it's $29,000.
Yeah, $29,000. Okay, very good. So my question is, my wife and I are 2 years apart, so when one of us turns 65, the other one will be 63. Does each spouse on a joint return, if they're both 65, do they each get the $29,000 exclusion if they're both receiving pensions?
Yes, but here's the deal, okay? I think it's a $29,000 exclusion. Chris looks like he's fast working on it.
Right.
I'm pretty sure it's a $29,000 exclusion, but it's net of Social Security. So let's say you get $28,000 of Social Security. You're only going to get a $1,000 deduction because they're going to give you the full Social Security as a deduction on the return. Maryland
right.
is all not all that generous to retirees.
No.
Yeah, I'm well aware of that.
And remember also, it has to be a real pension. It has to be a pension from a corporation or a government. It can't be like a 401k that you're getting an annuity income from or something of that sort.
Yeah, both of them are from our employers. We work for different companies.
Okay, then that's the exclusion. But I bet anything that if you're any kind of income earners, your exclusion to the state of Maryland after Social Security is going to be next to nothing.
Okay, but we're going to delay Social Security to a later point in time. We probably will go all the way out to 70. We're debating that.
Well, then that would be nice. Then you would get the full $29,000 exclusion if your pension was over $29,000. But as soon as Social Security kicks in, you're going to lose that exclusion from that point forward.
Right, and is that $29,000 per spouse?
Yes,
or
it's per spouse. Net of your Social Security per spouse.
Okay, very good.
All right, man. I hope that makes you happy.
Yeah, that helps.
All right, take care.
Every little bit helps, right?
Right. Gary in Columbia, real quick, how can we help you?
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I have a question about 2014 tax return.
Okay.
I filed it on time.
Okay.
Completed it with no errors. I received an income.
You know that already?
Pardon me?
You know for a fact you completed it with no errors?
Well, yeah, because
the diagnostic told
neither the state nor the federal came back with any corrections to it.
Oh, they got 3 years to do that, my friend,
yeah,
but okay.
That's fine. But anyhow, I use TurboTax, which, as you know, rounds all entries. There's no all just dollars. There's no
sure.
Sense.
That's the way the IRS does it, too, but go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, well, now listen to this, though. My refund was, for example, $832.
Right.
And I received the check from IRS for $832.25.
Never heard that one before. That's never seen
curious.
The IRS ever do pennies.
To go backwards.
I've never experienced that myself.
That's an interesting point, Gary.
Just this 1 year. Now, I already finished my 2015 and got my refund, and it did not happen this year. It only happened last year. It's the only time it's ever happened.
Well, you mean your 2000? You said 2015. You mean your 2014, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I've never seen the state of Maryland or the federal government ever issue dimes, nickels, and quarters.
No, but, I haven't either.
But then again, we round everything to the dollar, so
yeah.
maybe they you hit the lottery with them or something. You know,
what?
The 1,852th person will get 25 cents more.
There you go.
Well, maybe it was only 25 cents. I'm just curious as to why it even happened.
I have no idea. But if you find out, we'd like to know. That's an interesting trivia question.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Gary, take care. I got to go see what Nick Grehak is finding out there with traffic, because we didn't find it very pleasant. So hopefully he's finding something better. Go ahead, Nick.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And this is Money, Riches, and Wealth here with Christopher John O'Shea. We're doing an open show.
There
are taxes is what everybody wants to talk about. And one gentleman called in and his cell phone was dying, so he couldn't stay on the line. He wanted to know what are the pros and cons of using TurboTax. I think TurboTax is a great program, but it has to be for a return that is incredibly simplistic. And if it is, then, you got just a nominal, you got salary, you've got some minimal itemized deductions, boom, it's going to probably work great, you know?
Sure.
But anytime anything of any complexity comes into that return, you know, it's so easy to miss things.
Yeah, and some things direct you right through it, but even something as simple as a foreign tax credit.
Yeah, well, that's just one of many. We had a good friend of ours couldn't get his foreign tax credit through, and he just forgot it, and it was like $800.
Right.
And I said, let me have it, and boom, in a matter of like 10 minutes, I had it up for him. But there are some TurboTaxes now offering, professional review. So for like 50 or 80 bucks or something really ridiculously cheap, you can do your own return, turn it over to a professional, have them look at it and give you comments as to whether they see anything that looks like it ought to be. Or you can just turn over all your docs and work with them and let them do it. So
that's right.
TurboTax is doing a lot of cool things. Anyway, if you want to call in 410-922-6680, that's the dial in if you have questions. We're going to Bill in Perry Hall. Bill, how can we help you?
Yes, hi. I came into the program right at the end of one of your callers, and sorry to make you repeat yourself, but you mentioned a $29,000 exclusion. Of course, in Maryland, they do tax pension. What was that $29,000 exclusion referring to?
Maryland does tax pensions, but they give you a $29,000 exclusion per spouse. But it is net of your Social Security. So if you make a pension, and when I say a pension, it has to be a pension, like a pension that you get a monthly check from a corporate or government pension plan. It cannot be an annuity or something of that sort that you set up with money that you've accumulated.
But suppose you're single.
It doesn't matter. You get $29,000 exclusion net of your Social Security.
Per person, right.
Per person. So you're only one person, you get one exclusion.
So if you're making like this, if your pension is $35,000, $29,000 is not taxed?
That is correct. But if you're making $28,000 in Social Security, then only $1,000 is deductible on your Maryland return. See, Maryland gives you your Social Security income tax-free, so the way they look at it, it's $29,000 either of a pension or Social Security, whichever is...
not both.
Not both, one or the other. And you know why they do it is because Maryland has so many CSRS pensioners that CSRS pensioners don't get Social Security. So if they just eliminated Social Security, then it wouldn't be fair to the CSRSers, who are a big part of Maryland's population. So that's why they do it. All right?
Okay.
All right, buddy. You take care.
Thank you. Okay.
Bye. I got to go to Tom in Millersville, Texas. What's up, Tom?
Yes, hi. I've got a fairly simple question for you. Do I have to file taxes? 80 years old, my wife and I draw nothing but Social Security, and it's minimal.
Do you get anything else? Do you have any investments, IRA deductions?
We have a few IRAs, but there's really nothing. I think really nothing to report.
But you do get some money out of those IRAs every year, right?
Yes.
How much is it? Is it a $500 or $5,000 or $50,000?
No. You mean what do I take out every year?
Yeah.
$500.
$500 total between you and your spouse?
Well, $500 apiece.
$1,000 total. Do you have investments that you buy and sell stocks and bonds and things of that sort?
None whatsoever.
If all you have is Social Security and IRA income of about $1,000, and I'm also assuming you don't do any kind of part-time work or anything, is that correct?
That's correct.
And if that's all you have and nothing else, and there's no other things that possibly, if your total income other than Social Security is below $10,000, you do not have to file. Now, there are some unique times where you might, like in 2009, I think it was, when they gave that money back to people.
Oh, right.
If you didn't file, they would have not gotten their $200 or $300 that they were entitled to. So you can't always assume that every year you don't have to file. But this year, if what you're telling me is true, you can go and have a good time, my friend.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. You take care. We're going to Faith, and we're having Faith here with Faith in Annapolis.
Hi. I just had a question about TurboTax. I had read somewhere that they had been hacked or that people were filing false refunds and claiming your refunds and something about...
Yes. What you're saying is true, Faith, and this is a notorious problem with the IRS more so than TurboTax, in my opinion. And this really gets my blood boiling because the IRS is giving TurboTax a hard time. But let me tell you the real story here. The IRS was accepting tax returns from people who were making up tax returns, and they would just take, they'd steal your Social Security number. They'd send in a tax return saying they're John Doe, and they made this much money, and they had this much this and this much that. And they sent in the tax return, said, I'm due a refund of $8,000. And the IRS would just blindly send the $8,000 out to these people. It became such a big business for a couple years that everybody and his brother was getting on it. And the IRS literally, from what I understand, sent out probably close to a few billion dollars to people in false refunds. And so now it's a big game. People keep trying to do false returns, and the IRS is getting better at catching it. And so they hacked into TurboTax, and they started to file these false returns through TurboTax because that was one of the ways the IRS was trying to shut them off. And so that was a problem, but I don't think that it was something that compromises the users of TurboTax in general. It was really a way that people were trying to use TurboTax, the hackers were trying to use TurboTax, to get the government to send them money like they're stupid enough to do.
Okay, so that's why they were saying it's best to file early to basically sort of beat the hackers to the punch.
That is true. I mean, I've already had, I think I've had about 8 clients already call in whose Social Security number have been compromised. But what happens is the IRS gives you a PIN number, and then when we file the real return, only this PIN can get that return filed. But you've got to keep in mind, Faith, that filing your return early just to avoid the hackers could hurt you as much as it could help you if something changes between now and late March, which there are a lot of things that can change. If your return's relatively simple, I would agree. File it quickly. Do it at the beginning of February before the hackers can get in there. But if you have any complexity, you really want to take the time and the patience to make sure it's right and not worry about the hackers.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
Take care. Annapolis, nice place. I like Annapolis. Let's go to our last. What do you want to do, Nita? You tell me. Do you want to go to weather, or do you want to take my last caller here for right now? I'm taking the last caller. See, she's a person in charge over there.
There,
Neil, how can we help you, Neil and Arbutus?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I have a question. My son was in college, and
Right now, he is preparing for higher education, taking exams and everything. But meanwhile, he's working part-time, and he has some income.
Okay.
It's about $10,000. So I was wondering, can I still claim him?
Well, let me ask you this question. Are we talking about 2014 or 2015?
14.
Okay, 2014, he was in university for at least half a year, right?
No, actually, he graduated end of 2013.
He graduated at the end of 13. So he wasn't in college at all. And what age is he? 22?
22.
No.
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 Okay.
Because he wasn't in college. And he's made more than $3,900. You know, unless I don't think he can at all, right? He wasn't in college.
Right.
And, you know, my thing, I would have to look because there are some quirky things in this, in the law right there in that 21 to 23 range that you would really want to look at. But as far as my memory tells me right now, the answer is no.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. You take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Now, you know, if I'm wrong, I'm sure somebody will correct me.
No, yeah. No, I don't think you are. I mean, it's you can if you're at least a if you're still a student or
a half year
say,
of college, right?
If you're a college. Then...
Now, if he was in graduate school,
right.
Okay, for a half a year.
Right.
And
right,
he was living with him.
Right.
And he made $10,000.
Right.
There is a chance that he might have been able to claim him as a dependent. But he wasn't in school at all, and I think the answer is no. But I'll tell you something. There are a lot of cool things you can do with his son that is going back to graduate school and get a lot of tax benefits if they're wise about it. Anyway, we got to go to – what are we going to, Anita? Are we going to traffic or are we going to weather? Weather. And we're going to weather. Whoever is doing it, tell us what's happening out there.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right. This show is flying by, Chris. And,
yeah.
We
taxes,
still have
taxes.
That's the only thing anybody wants to talk about.
Well,
you
it's
know?
The IRS, as you said, they're squeezing the whole thing into 3.5 months, you know. So
during snowstorms and sicknesses and everything.
Right.
Frank in Baltimore, how can we help you? Frank.
Yes, I have two questions. I get a little over $8,000 a year Social Security,
uh-huh.
And I get $61 a month state pension.
Okay.
And last year, you know, I've been filing a 1040 and everything, and I didn't know if I had to or not. I've never had any comeback on it. But last year, my mother and I, she gets a railroad retirement pension instead of like Social Security.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm more concerned about hers because she gets about $16,000 or something like that. And
is that all she gets?
Yeah, that's all she gets. She doesn't have it.
Nothing else. No IRAs.
No IRAs.
No pensions. No stock portfolios or anything like that.
No, just the
railroad retirement. Then neither of you have to file. Assuming that you have no taxes withheld from anything, there's no taxes withheld on your $61 a month, right?
No, nothing comes through on that.
Yeah, so you don't. Neither of you have to file. Railroad retirement is basically the same as Social Security for the most part.
But you see, the year before that, they made us pay.
What'd they make you pay?
She had to pay like $500 state, and I forgot what it was. It was a couple hundred. I know state was more than federal was.
Did you file a return?
We filed returns, right.
Who filed it for you?
me, big dummy.
Well, you sure you did it right?
Yeah, it was. Just, you know, I just followed it step by step, and you know.
It's with TurboTax or something, right?
No, just by hand, with a paper form.
I have a feeling that you might have done it wrong. You might want to get somebody to review that and see if you can get your money back. Now, you know, I will say that the railroad retirement is an interesting, you know, creature. So without seeing the form right there, right here in front of me, there's a portion of it that's considered like a pension. There's a portion of it that's considered like Social Security. But still, what you're telling me sounds like it's way too low that the two of you would have had to owe income taxes on it. But I can't tell.
You get a standard deduction. You get... he would have personal exemption.
And he would only had to pay tax on a portion of his railroad retirement. He,
right.
You know, the rest of it would have been excluded. And when you take the personal exemption, you're both over 65, I assume?
Yeah, she's 94.
All right. Was this, you said your mother's return, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, it's from her
with the railroad.
Her husband passed on.
Sure.
Okay. So, you know, I'd have to see her return because she's single. So the exemption for a single with the, it's about $11,000, maybe more total. You know, the $4,000 in exemption, and it's, let me think, it's about $8,000 if you're over 65. So it's about $12,000 that she could, but then there's a good portion of Social Security that wouldn't be included. So,
right.
You know, I'd have to see it to say, but I would not think it's going to be taxable. That's just a guess.
This is our first computer. We got a computer given to us for my birthday back on the 13th of February. And I've been trying to get somebody to hook it up because I don't know anything about, you know, getting the firewall up on Windows 7 and all that. But we had it along with our cable, with the cables that she likes to watch.
Right.
And they give you a free Norton. Once you get it up, they download the Norton for you. And I wanted to use that for trying to get a hold of IRS because everything with letters and paper and everything, we couldn't get a form, you know, I requested everything. 1 year, we sent it in, or 2 years, we sent hers in, got to a line, like a line 18 or something like that, and we asked them to complete it for us.
Right.
And that's how the ones that we got taxed on that time.
Right. Well, again, you know, unless I saw it, if you wanted to just, you know, send it over to me, I'd be more than happy to look at it for you. You know, I wouldn't charge you anything to do that. But, you know, if you wanted to, I'd be more than happy to look at it for you. All right. I got to run.
Okay. How do I send it to you?
You hear our phone number. It's 410-823-7283.
823-7283.
Yep. All right.
Thank you.
All right, Frank. I'm going to Betty, our last caller of the night. Quickly, Betty, how can we help you?
Hi. I just get Social Security. Can you tell me what the minimum is where I wouldn't have to file tax?
That's all you get. You get no pensions.
No.
You have no IRAs.
No.
You don't have any investments, no interest income.
No.
You're not working part-time.
No.
Then you don't have to file.
Right, especially, well, if you're, yeah, and you're not having Social Security take any taxes out of your monthly check, then, yeah, the only reason you would have to file is if you were just to get your money back.
I guess if she made, you know, a lot of Social Security, I guess theoretically you could, but you're not. Now, you don't have to worry, Betty.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, take care. You know, it's hard to answer some of those questions like that because you don't see everything, but you know, in general, people who are living on just Social Security are typically not going to pay taxes on that.
Right.
You know, Social Security is only 50% of Social Security is actually calculated into the computation if you have no other income. So if you take 50% off and your income's not over $25,000, then and you're single, there's no Social Security that's taxable at all. And it's too complicated. I'm confusing myself saying this. You're sitting over there looking with glazed eyes, thinking, "What the heck is he talking about? I don't even understand what he's talking about. I'm a CPA." Is that what you were thinking?
Not at all. Not at all. I was just being entertained.
What's going on next week? You wanted this guest to come on.
Next week, yeah, well, things have changed a little bit, but it is interesting because Honda, the company, Honda Motor Company, over the years, they've just gotten into more and different things, and they're into so many things. So we do. We have the author of the book, Driving Honda, just talking about the company that started with lawnmower engines, you know, and the things that they're doing now is just amazing.
Yeah.
So
what do you mean by things have sort of changed? You said that at the beginning.
Well, it's just that since we got them, you know, Honda had its, along with all the other people with the airbag problems, they were using, you know, the contractor for all these airbags, and that kind of went sideways a little bit.
Oh,
all so
right.
That's not, you know, that doesn't inure positive things towards them.
hey, I won't buy a small engine motor unless it's a Honda for the most part. You know, there are exceptions, but if I can get a Honda, my log splitter is a Honda, my rototiller is a Honda, you know, It's Honda small equipment, man. That's
and anyway, you're going to hear. Here's a company that they didn't want to. They knew their market. They weren't going to go after just like Toyota wanted to go after everything. They specialized. And anyway, it should be interesting.
This is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.